The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities offered through Lee Baldwin & Company, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to Your Financial Future here on 94.3 FM The Talker with Nick Colarossi of NJC Investments. I am thrilled that you've decided to tune us in this morning as we forge our weekly excursion into financial immersion. I'm joined in the studio today, as I am each and every week, by producer DC Taylor. Without him, there would be no financial future. DC Taylor, good morning.
Excursions, diversions, we got it all, don't
How
we?
How about that?
That's great.
Hey, I guess it's going to be a little bit rainy this morning, clearing up, not too bad. A nice day tomorrow on tap. Is that what you're seeing in the forecast?
That's what I'm seeing. That's what they say.
Yeah, we're kind of heading out of monsoon season here in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah, do we get that here? I know that's a southwest thing, but
I don't know. It seems like we had it.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Well, sorry. Better days are ahead. I hope you're enjoying this weekend and the rest of summer as we head into August next week, DC Taylor.
I know.
Well, hey, we have a great program in store for you today. A little bit later in the program, we will be joined by mutual fund portfolio manager Brian Frank. Brian Frank manages the Frank Value Fund and all of the Frank family of funds. He'll be here to give us his take on current market conditions. DC Taylor, you know he's been cautious the last few times he's been on the program.
Right.
We'll see if that's changed. And Brian will also give his opinions and outlook for the rest of 2017. And he has a new stock pick that he recently added to the Frank Value Fund. And he's going to be sharing that with us as well. So I'm interested to find out which of the companies made Brian's list, because Brian has told us in the past he's had difficulty finding stocks of value in the current market. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be talking about earnings this past week. We had a GDP report out for the second quarter we'll talk about in a few moments. And time permitting, I have some wealth-building income stocks to share with you to see if they might be something for you to do your own homework on, to see if they're a good fit for your portfolio. So if you're at home, I want you to have your pen and pad ready. If you're on the road, remember, you can go back to our website, njcinvestments.com, or our Facebook page, NJC Investments. There you will find a link to replay the entire program or any portion of the program that you desire. Again, thank you for kicking off your weekend with Your Financial Future, the program that originates from the luxurious corner office studio at the beautiful Bold Gold Radio Complex, which is located high atop the monsoon-soaked fields, DC Taylor, of the West Mountain of Scranton, Pennsylvania, the Electric City. I'm your host, Nick Colarossi of NJC Investments, and I think, DC, we'll start off talking about the market activity we saw this past week on Thursday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, while we did set new record highs on the Dow on Thursday, and we saw a lot of midday volatility start to kick in, especially in the NASDAQ market midday Thursday, we had a 2% turnaround, DC Taylor, where the NASDAQ was setting records. Everything was good 1 minute, and then all of a sudden we were down 100 points on the NASDAQ.
Yeah.
Now, remember, the NASDAQ composite really has been our leader of all the markets. And we're talking about stocks like the FANG stocks, right, which are Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, and those types of companies in that realm that have really led the markets higher. Now, pretty much so far in 2017, it's been a relatively smooth ride. There has not been a lot of volatility. So we've been setting record high after record high on our major averages with extreme low volatility, and I don't think that that can go on forever. I think markets can go higher in the long run, but I think we're going to see volatility pick up, especially in the short run. You know, through the close of trading last week, the S&P 500 had just 4 days out of the last 139 trading days that have produced a 1% gain or loss. So the markets haven't gone up more than 1% or down more than 1% only 4 times this year. At the same time last year, DC, we had 39 days that had more than 1% volatility. So that's nearly 10 times more volatile trading days. So we talked about this last week. We talked about the chances, the increased chances for a short-term pullback in our markets, because we're now, that's about 40% through with our second quarter earnings season. And after that ends in a few weeks, there's really no news that we can point to right now to drive our markets. And then the next earnings cycle is 2 to 3 months away. So the news cycle that we're going to turn back to is probably the mess in Washington. On Thursday night, the Republicans failed to secure a repeal and replace of Obamacare. And now, because of that, there are fears that they may not be able to secure the tax cuts that they've promised. Now, DC Taylor has gone out on a limb and said there will be no tax cuts from this Congress in 2017.
Right.
I am on the other side of that trade. I'm hopeful yet that they can get something done like this in Washington. I strongly believe that the promise of tax cuts is the major factor in driving our market averages higher right now. So now we're heading into the month of August. What does August usually bring us? DC, since 1992, August has been the worst performing month of the S&P 500.
Yeah.
The S&P 500 during the month of August over the last 25 years, an average loss of 0.7%. Now, if you want to compare that with the best month, it's been April. April has averaged a gain of 1.9%, but August traditionally a slow month of the year in the markets. So I guess, should you sell everything? Should you run for the hills right now?
No, of course not.
You never do that, right? Not in my opinion. Here's why. Over the last 5 years, from July 1st, 2012 to July 1st, 2017, the S&P 500 was up an average of 14.6% on a total return basis per year. 14.6%, DC Taylor, per year.
Nice.
All right. Now, if you missed just the best five performing days in those 5 years, just you were on the sidelines for whatever reason, you tried to time the market, your average would have dropped down by more than 3%, down under 11.6% per year, just by trying to, you know, get out when it's when you're feeling nervous or something.
Right.
So the old saying still holds true. It is time in the market, not timing the market, that counts. Now, with that said, the major factor in the long run for moving our markets higher, it's going to come down to better corporate profits. Right now, we're in the middle of second quarter earnings season. For the most part, earnings are coming in, meeting or beating expectations with better sales revenues. Now, some of the major corporations that reported earnings last week, DC, include Exxon, Chevron, AT&T, McDonald's, Facebook, and Amazon. And I just want to give you a flavor for those very quickly. Exxon, symbol XOM, disappointed on their earnings by slightly missing their earnings per share target. However, and the stock was down slightly on Friday, but if you look year over year, they've doubled their earnings, almost doubled their earnings from a year ago.
Wow.
Exxon was trading down about 2% on Friday in the 79 area, 52-week low for Exxon, 78. So they're right down near that 52-week low, 52-week high, 93.22. ExxonMobil pays a 3.85% dividend at this price. Chevron, CVX is your symbol there. That fared much better than Exxon, up over 2.5% on Friday after reporting strong earnings. Chevron traded between $108 and $109 on Friday. 52-week range on Chevron, $97.53 to $119. Chevron pays better than a 4% dividend on an annual basis right now. AT&T, symbol T, had really good blowout earnings last week. They jumped over 5% in one day last week, DC Taylor.
Wow.
AT&T, you wouldn't expect that type of a company to have a 5% move in one day.
Right.
In one day. So AT&T, 52-week range is 35.81 to 43.50. AT&T trading right now at about $39 and has a current dividend, 5.4% annual dividend. McDonald's, heard of that one, right? We talk about that often.
I believe I've heard of that one.
MCD hit an all-time high last week. Earnings, they hit, I think it was $159 plus, currently trading at about $155, 52-week low, all the way down to $110 on McDonald's. But McDonald's pays a 2.3% dividend right now. DC Taylor, I think it's you and I are the only ones over the last few years that have believed in McDonald's in their turnaround.
Right.
So did you see the there's news out now of new products, of course, the app that we've talked about. If you do not have the McDonald's app on your smart device, get it.
Right.
If you go to McDonald's at all, you're going to save every time. That's also going to help them to place orders quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about delivery. They're also talking about cheese fries with bacon.
Ooh.
And they're test marketing that. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
CEO Steve Easterbrook of McDonald's last week had a great quote. He said something to the effect of, "You are either going to be the disruptor or you're going to be disrupted."
Okay.
And I think so. He's McDonald's now is the Amazon of fast food.
Yeah.
And, right. They're trying. They're really being aggressive, especially in this new digital world. So today I reiterate McDonald's, DC, you know, it was on our Knicks Picks stock list last year, a list of 10 companies at NJC Investments that we like for 2017 and beyond. We reiterate and hold McDonald's on our Knicks Picks stock list. And if you'd like a copy of our Knicks Picks stock list, you can drop me a line at any time, 570-586-5030, or go to our website, njcinvestments.com. You can email me right through there, contact me right through there, and we'll be sure that you get a copy of our current list. This is Your Financial Future on 94.3 FM, The Talker, with Nick Colarossi. We're just giving you a flavor here for some of the earnings releases that were reported last week. I'd like to finish up with two that you know, DC Taylor, because we talk about these as well very often on the program. Facebook and Amazon.
Okay.
Let's talk about Facebook. Symbol FB. Blew away numbers again. Listen to this increase in revenues for Facebook. Up 47% year over year.
Wow.
How does a company that big grow 47% a year?
I can't even.
I think it's you. I think it's you posting all those videos.
It's all me, yeah. It's the sheer, must be the sheer volume of users,
certainly,
of the site, and then, you know, they sell advertising based on that.
Certainly, would you say the leader in social media right now?
I believe so.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so too. Yes. So a lot of people on Facebook, increased revenues over 47%. That of course is why Facebook, also one of the companies on our Nick's Pick stock list, Facebook trading at approximately $172 per share, 52-week high $175.49, 52-week low $113.55, again trading at about $172, no dividend on Facebook. Let's talk Amazon, the beast.
Yes.
Amazon, AMZN is your symbol. Came out on Thursday evening after the close with disappointing numbers for investors. Amazon fell about 3.5% on Friday. That translates into over 30 points, DC Taylor.
Wow.
Being that it's a 1,000-plus stock, and it's trading right over that $1,000 area right now, 52-week high, 1,083, and it's funny because that was put in on Thursday morning, 52-week low, $710. So Amazon, on Thursday morning, with their setting their new all-time high stock price, made CEO Jeff Bezos the richest man in the world for about a half an hour.
That's it.
That was it.
All right.
I think going back to their earnings, Amazon, it wasn't their revenues. They're doing just fine. Their sales numbers actually beat forecast, and that's good.
Yeah.
The problem with this quarter's earnings for Amazon, they're being the disruptor, right? They're buying different things. They're getting into everything. They're spending a lot of money. So they're profit forecast was the problem. They came in very short, 77% short on profits. But let's just put this in perspective, DC Taylor. Mm-hmm. The Amazon stock price crossed over 1,000 for the first time on July 14th.
Okay.
So we just kind of retraced the last couple of weeks, right?
Not even.
So I think Amazon will be fine in the long run. I don't think that it will retrace down to the 52-week low of 710. This may be an opportunity in Amazon. Of course, do your own homework. This is an aggressive stock. You want to make sure you know all the details before you invest in anything. So all in all, DC, I think second quarter earnings so far, almost halfway through with them, they're pretty strong so far.
Yeah.
Of course, you want to tune in each and every Saturday now to Your Financial Future. As we finish out over the next 2-3 weeks, we'll have the rest, the second half of second quarter earnings. And they're important to know, especially the sales numbers. We want to see those revenue numbers continue to increase. So you want to watch that. If that continues, I think our markets can continue higher for the long run. Well, thanks again for tuning us in this morning on 94.3 FM The Talker. This is Your Financial Future. I am your host, Nick Colarossi of NJC Investments. I am proud to be the soundtrack for your early Saturday mornings. DC Taylor, let's take a break here.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to catch you up on exactly where we stand in our financial markets year to date. We're going to talk about that GDP figure, the advanced gross domestic product figure came out on Friday. We'll talk about that and what that means for your portfolios. And a little bit later in the program, Brian Frank, the portfolio manager of the Frank Value Fund, will be here to talk about the markets, talk about his fund and his stock picks. You don't want to miss that. Before we go to break, let's thank our friends at Seidel's Restaurant in North Scranton for sponsoring this portion of the program. If you haven't tried out Seidel's, you want to try them out over these hot summer months. It's going to get hotter next week, right, DC?
Yeah, the heat's coming back.
Stay out of the kitchen. Get yourself out. Get yourself a reservation for Seidel's Restaurant. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Well, please stay with us. Your Financial Future will be back in 1 minute.
If you're searching for a special dining experience, Seidel's Restaurant is your home for great taste. Seidel's Restaurant is one of Scranton's elite fine dining establishments, specializing in Italian-American contemporary cuisines. At Seidel's, generous size entrees are prepared with only the highest quality ingredients. So whether you're having a meal for business or pleasure, it's sure to leave a lasting impression. Seidel's Restaurant has mouth-watering Italian-American contemporary cooking with a delightful ambiance. At Seidel's, you are certain to find unique specials for what you're craving. If you can't find an entree off their elaborate menu, just ask the chef. He can create an off-the-menu meal for you. At Seidel's, the owner is also the chef. Seidel's is located on the corner of Main Avenue and Tripp Street in North Scranton. They are now accepting holiday party reservations and on- and off-site holiday catering. 343-6544. That's 343-6544. Make it special. Make it Seidel's.
Welcome back to Your Financial Future on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm Nick Colarossi from NJC Investments. Proud to have you along as a listener today. I hope you'll tune in every Saturday morning to get your financial updates, especially in these times, DC Taylor. We have markets setting records. You want to tune in. We're going to catch you up each and every week, and we're going to give you our outlook for the rest of 2017 and beyond. And if there's ever anything that you hear on our program that you want more information on, if you need detailed information on the strategy that we talk about or on an investment that we talk about, please don't ever hesitate. Reach out to us at the offices at NJC Investments. You can call us 570-586-5030 at any time. You can do it over the weekend. We'll call you back first thing Monday morning. All right, DC. Well, this is the part of the program that we like to catch you up on exactly where we stand in our financial markets year to date as we close out July heading into August. But you know that before I do that, I always like to give you a hot tip on some of the best investments that you will ever make. And that is investing in your family, investing in yourself, and investing in your own community. You know, DC, one of the best service organizations that you can join in your community, I believe, is the Rotary Club. Now, you know I'm a Rotarian, long time, 19 years, D.C., in the North Scranton Rotary.
Thanks.
A proud member of all the community work that we've done in those years, and I'm so blessed by all of the friends that I've made in that club and in our community through Rotary. Now, Rotary Clubs, they do so much in the community to help those in need. We beautify communities. We raise funds for different organizations that benefit your community. This weekend, the North Scranton Rotary will be part of two major events in our area. First up, I'm going to talk about the St. Joseph's Picnic in Scranton, one of the best summer picnics in our area, and it's a great cause for all the good work that St. Joseph's Center does in our area. You know, St. Joseph's is going on today into the evening, and I believe tomorrow noon until 6 p.m. The North Scranton Rotary will be manning the food tent from noon until 3 p.m. tomorrow, D.C. Taylor.
Yeah.
So you want to stop by, get some great food, enjoy the entertainment, all the games, everything that the picnic has to offer for your entire family, and spend some money for a good cause, right? For St. Joe's Center. And also, the North Scranton Rotary will be helping out on this Tuesday evening, the Scranton Police Department, with their national night out at the Scranton High School. This is a national event. Our local police department will be at the Scranton High School grounds. It will feature free food, including hot dogs, hamburgers, cupcakes, and the National Guard rock climbing wall will be there. They'll have raffle the different baskets. They'll have kids activities, police and fire demonstrations, and music by my friend EJ the DJ. This event, again, on the grounds of Scranton High School this Tuesday evening from 6 to 9 p.m. The North Scranton Rotary will be handing out the hamburgers and hot dogs sponsored by the police department. And don't forget, again, this is a free event to the public. A great event to come out and support our friends in blue for all of the good work that they do in our community. This program here stands 100% behind our first responders, D.C. Taylor.
Good, excellent.
What do you have for us this week, D.C. Taylor?
We've got the 5th annual Arts on the Square, taking place today, noon until 8, all-day event wrapping around Courthouse Square in downtown Scranton. Over 100 vendors, a stage of talented local musicians, performing arts, as well as children's activities. Arts on the Square today, noon till 8.
And that's why the weather will clear up for the afternoon.
That's right.
That D.C. Taylor has given you that promise.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, D.C., and I guess it is time to get back to our finances, and here is where we stand as we close out July of 2017. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands up near an all-time high record, up 10.3% on the year. The S&P 500 up about 10.5% for the year. And our NASDAQ, even with the pullbacks and the volatility on Thursday and Friday, still up about 18% year to date. Price of a barrel of oil, now, DC, you've been seeing it creep up a little bit at the pump, right?
Yes.
Price of a barrel of oil getting close to $50 a barrel again. Our 10-year treasury yield also rising last week, up to 2.31% on a yield basis. Both of those averages had their biggest moves in over 3 months this past Wednesday, as Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve pretty much signaled that the Federal Reserve would be selling down their balance sheet sooner rather than later. Federal Reserve also signaled that we may be near the end of our interest rate hiking cycle, and I still think that they want to, for whatever reason, I still think they want to go one more quarter point hike. I don't think they need it, but I think they want to do that, but I think that would be it if we get it. We did have our first report. We talked about the GDP report, our gross domestic product report for the second quarter. It came out at an increased rate of 2.6% on an annual basis in the April-June period. According to the Commerce Department, D.C., they say that includes a boost in trade, and that first estimate came out on Friday. D.C., that 2.6 average annual GDP rate, more than double the first quarter's, you know, pretty pathetic 1.2% rate of growth.
Right.
Still not where we want to be, but there was little inflation in our economy in the second quarter, and that puts the Federal Reserve in a really tight spot. They want to raise rates another quarter point, but they really don't need to. There's no inflation out there. Okay. You don't want to raise rates into an economy that is just starting to move. You right. don't want to choke it off. You know? Even with that decent GDP number, DC, it's still unlikely. Economists do not believe that we're going to top the 2.5% growth rate for the entire year. Now, the people in Washington have been promising 3%.
Uh-huh.
So we will see. I don't think we get there in 2017. Yeah. Wage growth has remained sluggish, even though the labor market is near full, according to the Commerce Department. I don't buy that. I don't think the unemployment numbers have been correct in a while. Right. I don't think we're at 4.7% unemployment. I think there are many Americans out there, able-bodied Americans, that can and want to go back to work. I believe our growth prospects are better there than the Commerce Department is telling us. I know a lot of people. I think through just family and friends, a lot of people unemployed, and the way that they're counting unemployment these mm-hmm. days, they don't show up on those on that register. Mm-hmm. So, well, here's what I think, DC Taylor. I think the only way that we get back to a 3+% GDP, mm-hmm. and that's where we need to be, is if Washington gets its act together. We need tax reform. Uh-huh. We need Obamacare reform, which we didn't get last week. Right. You know, Obamacare has been a drag on the economy. It's raised taxes, out of sight, and it's if we continue down, it's bankrupting the system.
Yeah.
Now, got to be fixed. Corporate taxes, 35%, the highest in the industrialized world. If we could get those corporate taxes pared down to 15%, as was promised, that alone, I think, would put us over 3% growth in the economy. And what about putting more money in DC Taylor's pocket? An individual tax cut wouldn't hurt either.
How about that? I'd be a fan of that.
You'd spend a little bit of that money, put it back into the economy. Correct?
I'd vote in favor of that one.
Well, in my opinion, Washington has become a circus, and we need to remind them they can be fired at any time, and that goes for both sides of the aisle.
Yep.
Thanks again for tuning us in this morning on 94.3 FM, The Talker. This is your financial future. I'm your host, Nick Colarossi of NJC Investments, here with DC Taylor of Bold Gold Radio fame. And I think, DC, they've heard enough of my opinions for a few minutes.
Yeah, I think so.
We were just getting a call in now from Miami Beach, Florida. So, DC, we're going to talk now to Brian Frank and get his opinions on the market, what he thinks is going on in our marketplace for the rest of 2017. We're going to pick his brain for some stock ideas as well. All right, DC Taylor, do we have Brian Frank on the line?
We do.
Brian, are you there?
Hi, Nick. I'm here.
Great to hear your voice again. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well up here in northeastern Pennsylvania. This is Brian Frank, portfolio manager of the Frank Value Fund and all the Frank funds. And Brian is a friend of the program, comes on and gives us his updates from time to time on what he thinks about our current markets, what stocks he likes, what areas he likes, what areas he doesn't like. And I know you've been cautious so far this year, Brian. You've been cautious the last time we talked to you. Let's start there. What do you feel about our markets? We set new records last week, midweek, and where do we head for the rest of 2017 into 2018, in your opinion?
Well, not only are we making records just on the raw prices of the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones and the NASDAQ, but we're also making records on valuation. So to me, that's just a bet that I don't want to take. And that's why I've been cautious for the last 3 years, is valuations have been high. Well, now they're at record highs. So if you look at something like the price-to-sales ratio on the S&P 500, you basically just take the market cap of every stock and divide it by their sales. You don't have to worry about taxes or profit margins or anything like that. That's just a top-line number. We're at a record right now. It's the highest in history. So you might not want to call this one a bubble because people don't like to say the B word, but we can definitely say 1999 was a bubble. If you look at the chart, you know, it's long over. It ran up and then it crashed. Well, we're higher in terms of valuation than 1999. So how is this not a bubble?
All right.
I'm very cautious. I'm very defensive. And we're being very careful of the consumer because I think the consumer's kind of running out of cash here.
Okay. And you've been cautious for a while. You've raised cash in your fund. Do you still hold a high percentage in cash?
We have the highest percentage in cash that we've ever had in our 13-year history. Back in the other bubbles, there were places to hide. We could find some cheap stocks, but now maybe because of passive investing and people just buying a little bit of everything, everything's kind of a little bit expensive. So we're still holding on to that cash. And we're happy to do it. And we're happy to be patient.
You're sticking to your value strategy, of course. And I read your last newsletter. If anybody would like to sign up for Brian's newsletter, he sends out a quarterly letter to shareholders, but you can get in and see what Brian's thoughts are each and every quarter. You can go through our website, njcinvestments.com, or go directly to Brian's website, Frank Funds, frankfunds.com, and you'll get a lot of great information there. But Brian, in your last newsletter, you talked about how little you have as a portfolio manager, how little you have in common with your peers. And tell me your thoughts on that and how you think that's going to play out for you in the future.
Well, when I first started picking stocks, it was just from my family. My first account was actually my grandfather. He was an entrepreneur in New Jersey, and I convinced him when he sold his business to give me a tiny chunk of the proceeds. And I didn't know anything about, you know, style boxing, you know, buying large cap value or small cap growth or anything in between. I didn't know what indexation was or benchmarking, meaning if you're managing a portfolio, a lot of professionals like to say, if the S&P 500 has 12% energy stocks, I'm going to have 12% energy stocks. Right. That's called benchmarking.
Okay.
So when I first started, I just bought the best stocks for my grandfather, and I didn't want to lose any money.
That's right.
I wouldn't be invited to Christmas Eve
dinner.
That's
right. No Thanksgiving, no Christmas.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
You know, he was only about 5'5", but he was a tough Italian guy, so...
Okay.
Pretty careful of that. So I learned as I started building a business and then running a mutual fund and a hedge fund and marketing to professionals that just buying 20 to 30 stocks without regards to the benchmark is actually a unique strategy. Most mutual funds out there, most ETFs, it's all based on an index. And they're diversified, you know, sometimes to a fault. And what I was writing about in the last quarterly letter was we have 0% weightings in a lot of sectors right now. We don't own almost any stocks that are in any index because those indexes are so popular right now through passive products and through ETFs that, in my opinion, the valuations are just off the chart. So when we designed the mutual fund, which was about 5 years after I started picking stocks for my grandfather, we designed it to not fit in a style box. We designed it to completely ignore the benchmark. And we're using that prospectus right now to the fullest extent. So we're not benchmarking, you know, we don't have anything that's in these indexes, and we're able to just stock pick around that and hold cash. So at a moment where everything looks extremely expensive to me, I'm thrilled not to look like anybody else.
Okay.
It definitely hurts in the short term as we make these records here. But I think I'm going to sidestep to a large extent, you know, the hangover here from the party. And that's a great thing to be able to do for your shareholders. And that's how you build long-term returns, is you avoid big losses. You don't have to get all the gains, but if you can avoid the big losses, that matters a lot more to compounding money.
So I would imagine you're avoiding the FANG type stocks. We talked about the FANG stocks earlier in the program and the Facebooks, the Amazon, the Netflix, Google type stocks. I would imagine you're avoiding that type of a stock.
We are. But the thing about the FANGs, like the reason they're so famous is they all have amazing growth. Facebook is growing like a tiny company right now, even though it's one of the biggest companies in the world.
47% year over year on their revenues.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, I mean, those are numbers to get excited about, and those are numbers to pay a high valuation for. But, you know, I would argue right where we are is a little bit too high. You can definitely pay too much for a great company. So I am avoiding the FANG stocks. But what I'm avoiding even more are the blue chip stocks.
Wow.
Blue chip stocks like Coca-Cola, like McDonald's, Procter & Gamble, you know, these names that everybody knows, they have all their products in their house, but these companies are actually declining in revenue.
Declining in revenue, but setting new high price targets on their stocks, right?
Right, yeah. So they're not growing at all, and the stock is going up. That's just the recipe for big losses there. You can have a nice, you know, quote-unquote safe blue-chip company, and I think you can actually lose half your money in a lot of those stocks. And I'm not just picking on those three names. That's most of the S&P 500. most of the S&P is not growing like the FANG stocks. Most of the S&P is under a lot of pressure, and it's trading at this very high valuation. So that's a recipe for low returns.
Is anything, we're in the middle of earnings, second quarter earnings right now. Has anything stood out about this particular earnings period to you?
The focus on the short term definitely stands out to me. A lot of people are talking about how, you know, we're exceeding expectations. Well, expectations have come down the whole year. So if you keep lowering the bar to the floor, eventually you'll be able to jump over it. And, you know, the other thing that kind of stands out to me is just nobody's really talking about the overall valuation. You know, it's, you know, versus last year, earnings are up. Well, we had a big decline in earnings last year because of the oil shock, you know, when oil went from 80 down to 40. That ruined, obviously, a lot of energy company earnings, and that's a good chunk of the S&P 500. So if you zoom out and you look a little bit longer term, we're still kind of growing 2% on the economy here.
Right.
Earnings are growing at about the same level. It's nothing to get excited about, but it's definitely not something you should be paying above 1999 levels for. And that was another point I made in the quarterly letter. In 1999, the economy just printed a 7% growth in the fourth quarter. Earnings were growing like 20%. The internet was revolutionizing everything. And still, that was too high a price to pay for that excellent economic scenario. Now we're more expensive than 99. The economy is growing at 2%. And, you know, the internet's kind of long in the tooth here. We don't have this next great, you know, revolutionary technology coming out that's going to grow the GDP significantly.
Okay. Well, I remember the 1999 into 2000. 2000 was not too pretty as we went through there, some of the corrective activity that took place in our markets.
Yeah, and the other thing is like people keep saying, well, what's the catalyst, Brian? What's going to knock the market down from these all-time highs? There was no real catalyst in March of 2000 when the NASDAQ peaked, and then the NASDAQ went down 83% from that point.
All right.
You had the Fed kind of raising rates, kind of not raising rates, which is like they're doing today. They're certainly not easing, and they weren't easing in 1999. But there was no, you know, there was no cannon shot that said this is the top of the market. Now the market's going to tank. It just basically ran out of buyers. And when you look at the percentage of bulls versus bears, when you look at the amount of margin debt out there, you wonder who's left to buy. It seems like everybody's kind of on one side of the train. People say this is the most hated bull market, but I don't believe it. When I look at the numbers of buyers versus sellers, bulls versus bears, and margin debt and things like that, there's just a lot of euphoria in here. There's a lot of people that are fully invested.
Yeah, and we've had a consumer-driven market. What do you think about, there's been a lot of reports on optimism from the consumer. What do you think about the consumer these days?
That's actually the thing that concerns me the most. I'm definitely concerned about high valuations, but that's a long-term indicator. Valuations can be high for a long time, as we've seen in the last 3 years. Now, over a 10-year period, that's kind of the iron rule. Like, it will revert to the mean, but I can't tell you exactly when. However, when you look more short-term and you look at consumer spending, it definitely gives you a good picture of the economy. Consumer spending is about 70% of the economy, so if the consumer is strong, you can pretty much assume the economy is going to be strong. And that's the thing that started to really concern me this week. On Friday, you had Starbucks come out with earnings, and the stock was down about 10% because they said the consumer was weak, traffic was weak. You know, and you're not talking a $250,000 house here. You're talking a $4 or $5 cup of coffee.
Right.
And, you know, Starbucks kind of talked about competition. But to me, when the consumer really gets tapped out, it's not Starbucks necessarily worrying about if you're going to buy your coffee at Dunkin' Donuts or Tim Hortons. It's Starbucks worrying that, hey, if I don't buy a cup of coffee every day, I can save 25 bucks a week.
That's right.
So when people start to make those types of decisions, you know, foregoing the cup of coffee or, you know, getting it at work or whatever, that to me is an indicator that there's something very wrong with the consumer.
Okay.
Starbucks started to reflect that. Another one that I'm looking at was on Friday, they also released the July estimates for automotive sales. And cars were down about 6% from last July.
Wow.
And that's the biggest decline we've had so far this year. We've had a bunch of declines year over year, but now it seems to be accelerating. So that's a big purchase. So you have the little purchase of coffee that's starting to worry Starbucks, but now you have the big purchase of autos where rates have gone up just that little bit. And since there's been a leasing bonanza the last few years, people like to trade in the car, you know, and trade up and get a nicer car for the same amount of money in the lease. You can't do that anymore. And the lenders are starting to tighten, and autos in general are about 20% of retail spending. So that's a big chunk there. And that's you know, that's all happening recently. That's not something that's been going on for years. This is recent, and it's concerning, in my opinion.
So we got to, and then we'll keep an eye. DC Taylor and I always talk about the automobile sales. We'll keep an eye on those numbers as they come out, because I think it's huge too. So So I know that in your portfolio, you, compared to your peers, you carry very few stocks. You have a very, probably the highest cash balance out there in the value sector, if not the highest. I'm sure you're well up there. But even having said that, I know that you added a new stock to your portfolio recently. I want you to talk about that in a minute. But before you do that, I want you to talk about, I know you have a very selective stock screening formula that you use. What's most important to you when you're picking a new stock? And then if you'll go on and talk about the stock that you've added to your portfolio.
Our main criteria is looking at something we call EBIT, which stands for earnings before interest and taxes. It's also known as operating income. So, you know, we like revenue, we like net income, but we look right smack in the middle of the income statement there, operating income. So a lot of companies distort their net income by buying back shares or playing with their tax rate. You don't have to worry about that if you look at operating income. And a lot of companies will do uneconomical things for sales. Think Amazon.com. Amazon has tremendous sales growth, but doesn't really make a lot of profit.
77% miss on their profits this week, right?
That's right, yeah. So you have to trust the manager that Jeff Bezos is doing something intelligent there by foregoing the profit, but Jeff Bezos is one in a billion. We don't trust most managements to just grow revenue without growing profit. So that's why we look at operating income.
Okay.
We take the operating income, we actually divide that by the market cap minus the cash plus the debt, and that's a metric called enterprise value. Most other fund managers just use market cap, which ignores the balance sheet. What I learned in 2007 and even before that when I used to work in private equity is debt matters, and it especially matters when rates are going up and you have to pay back the bank. So if you have debt, we actually add that to the purchase price, and it makes indebted companies look more expensive.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do, we do all this research on thousands of companies. We're trying to get 8%. So we want $8 of operating income if your whole business plus debt costs $100. And the reason we want 8% is traditionally you can make 5%, you know, risk-free in bonds. You can't do that today, but I think you still need to discount that because businesses are more risky than bonds, you know, because even what we talked about with Starbucks there, you know, there's intense competition in every industry, so you have to get paid for it. So the reason we have so much cash in the portfolio is we just can't find that 8% yield anywhere on any business.
Makes sense.
It's exceedingly hard, yeah. So we hold cash, and it's hard. It's hard. It tests your patience. It tests your shareholders' patience. But long term, if you are paying too much for a business, you're going to lose money.
Okay. And so even with all that that's out there, you found something to add to the portfolio. You want to talk about
so
that?
That quantitative part is kind of just the starting point. And then beyond that, we do a whole lot of qualitative stuff, like looking at the cycle, looking at how the company does in a recession, where their sales come, et cetera. And even if a company has a decent earnings yield right now, it's probably something like a retailer or an oil company, which is just facing tremendous declines in operating income. So they might have had it last year. And all the screening that we do is only based on the last 12 months. Nobody knows really for sure what the next 12 months will bring. But if you look at retailers, you can be pretty sure that the profits are going to be lower than higher.
Scary sector.
Sorry?
I think it's a scary sector across the board. I think probably mostly because of Amazon, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have the 800-pound gorilla that's right. in there, and you have a weak consumer. That's not the place to be. So a lot of the times when we get what we want on earnings, we don't get what we want on quality. But the most recent stock that we bought is actually a company called Lilac Group.
Lilac.
The ticker is LILA.
LILA, okay.
And Lilac Group is a part of a bigger company right now called Liberty Global. And Liberty Global is a international cable company. They sell broadband, they sell video, and they mostly sell in Europe. Now, a few years ago, Liberty started Lilac Group, which actually stands for Liberty Latin America and Caribbean. So they have businesses in Chile, they have business in Panama, and they have a business in Puerto Rico, in addition to a bunch of other little countries like Jamaica and Trinidad. And it's a cable company. They're selling broadband. So if you look at broadband companies, what I like about them is they're not cyclical. So in a recession, you know, you might not get that cup of coffee at Starbucks. You might not buy the BMW, but you don't cut your cord. Your internet on.
That's right.
It's a nice, stable business. So most other businesses right now, I'm discounting a recession in the next 3 years just because we haven't had one in about 8 or 9 years. And on average, we have one every 7 to 10 years. So if you buy a company like Exxon, you can be sure the income is going to go down 30 to 40% in a recession, so you better get paid for that. You better have a nice, cheap price. On a cable company, you don't necessarily have to do that. Now, Lilac Group, it's pre-spin right now, which when a large company has a business that they want to spin off, they have to do filings with the SEC. It'll get its own ticker symbol, and it will spin off. Most of the time, it doesn't trade until the spin-off. But what Liberty Global did was they came out with a tracking stock. Now, I know this is a bit complicated, but basically what that means is if you're State Street or BlackRock or Vanguard and you have passive investing right now, you own Liberty Global as a part of the S&P 500. All of a sudden, this new tracking stock, Lilac Group, shows up in the index here, and it's not part of the S&P 500. So all of that passive investment has to sell that stock. So Lilac Group came out in the 40s, and it just got slammed down into the 20s, not necessarily because of anything fundamentally wrong with the business, but just because those ETFs and passive holders had to get out. Now, when people sell things without regards to the income, that's when we get interested. The earnings yield on Lilac Group is north of 15%.
Wow.
Now, the whole S&P is giving you 4 right now.
Right.
So I'm making almost 4 times the income. And I don't have a cyclical business. You can expect the earnings yield on the S&P to drop during a recession, whereas I think Lilac Group will just keep chugging along. So, you know, we're not permanently bearish here. When something fits, we take that opportunity, and we found a good one there, so we made it a major position.
And I see in your newsletter you say that Lilac Group has a 200% upside potential to their current fair value.
Yeah, it's a faster growing cable company than something in Europe or the U.S. Because if you think about it, 90% of people in Europe and the U.S. already have broadband. That number is closer to 40% in these emerging markets like Chile and Panama. So there's a lot of room there for Lilac to grow, and it's trading at a cheaper valuation than the established cable companies. I would argue that it should trade at a premium. But even just to get back to even with the other cable companies, you're talking at least a double of the stock price.
Okay. And the symbol there again, Brian, is LILA?
Yeah, that's right. We own the company. That's the voting shares. There's a non-voting. That's LILAK.
Okay.
Part of the reason you might want to use a professional on this one because it is a little complicated due to the tracking stock, et cetera.
Very good. And then we would use the Frank Value Fund. Again, give everybody the symbol on your Frank Value Fund and, again, your website address, Brian. So if people want to look you up and get in contact with you and track you your ideas from quarter to quarter, go ahead and give those out.
Yeah, we're happy to have people just get our monthly newsletter. We don't bombard you. You can get it at frankfunds.com. You just put your email address in on the front page there, and we'll send you once a month, nothing more. There's a bunch of information on how to buy the fund on the site, but the ticker symbol is FRNKX.
FRNKX, the Frank Value Fund. We're talking to Brian Frank, portfolio manager of the Frank Value Fund, a value-style mutual fund, large holding in cash right now and getting ready to pounce, I would think, if we get pullbacks where you can find some valuations. Are there any other stocks in the portfolio you want to mention today? I have one other particular question, only because to me, Shutterfly stands out as how the heck does that get into a value portfolio? So if you'll answer that, and if you want to talk about any other of your top holdings, that'd be great.
Oh, Shutterfly is a great one because it's one of the few. I think we bought two companies in 2017. One was Lilac Group, the other was Shutterfly. So definitely slow activity for us. But how does a kind of like a growth tech company get in a value portfolio? The answer is we're getting that growth for very cheap.
Okay.
So we all know Facebook is growing at a tremendous amount, but you're going to pay through the nose for it. But Shutterfly is actually in the midst of a big transition plan. They ended up buying a bunch of different websites and companies, and it didn't do so well. They couldn't consolidate it. So the stock went down. The CEO got fired. A new guy came in, and he said, you know what? We're just going to focus on the core brand here, and it's going to completely halt our income growth for all of 2017. Now, growth investors hate that. All of a sudden, the growth goes to zero, but we're more long-term. The turnover in the Frank Value Fund is less than 30%, meaning we hold stocks on average for more than 3 years. The turnover on the SPY, which is one of the major S&P 500 ETFs, is north of 500%, meaning they hold the stock for a month or two. To me, it's more tax efficient to be low turnover, but it's also how you get away from high frequency and from trading and from all the short-term hedge funds and algorithmic and quantitative strategies out there. If you just buy a business and hang on, you're going to get that business's growth. You don't have to worry so much about the trading and the algorithms, et cetera. So by taking a long-term perspective, we can look at Shutterfly's transition plan and say, okay, we're fine with no income growth in 2017. We're looking out to 2018 and 2019, and it looks like it's trading extremely cheap based on the projected income we have for those couple of years. We think the transition plan has a high chance of working. It's a lot of cost cutting. It's not a lot of, you know, build it and they will come, you know, type projections. It's more practical. And that's how it ends up in a value fund. It's a great value based on 2018 and 19 earnings.
And the symbol again on Shutterfly, Brian?
It's SFLY.
SFLY for Shutterfly. All right. Anything else you want to highlight in the portfolio? I have one other question for you.
The one other major position we've talked about a few times here is Liberty Tax. And that's also a recession-resistant business. And I'd like to mention that it's trading at about a 70% discount to the small stock index, which is the Russell 2000. And it's not a cyclical business. It doesn't go down in a recession. And on the most recent earnings call, the CEO said, we will grow this year. They've been in a big transition the last few years, trying to get their compliance program up to snuff. But now they're going to sell more franchises, and they're going to grow. So you could argue it should trade at a premium to most of the small stocks, as opposed to a 70% discount.
That's Liberty Tax. The symbol is TAX. Very easy to remember. And they trade with over a 4.5% dividend currently, right, Brian?
That's right. It's a franchise business, so they don't need a lot of capital to grow. So they pay out about half of their cash flow every year. So I would argue that's a pretty sustainable dividend because it's only half of their cash flow. And the other half just kind of piles up on the balance sheet, and they use it to buy back some franchises and make money for everybody.
TAX, Liberty Tax. Brian, I have one final question for you, and it's very simple. If everybody's nervous about where the markets are right now, trading high in valuation, and if we were to get in over the next month or 2 months, as we head into August, usually a traditionally slow time for the market anyway, if we were to get a 10% pullback, if we were to get a 20% pullback, would you be more likely to be a buyer or a seller into that market?
I'd definitely be more likely to be a buyer. I'm very price sensitive. And in a 20% pullback, that means you'll have many stocks down 30 to 40%. Not every stock was down equally there. So in that 30 to 40% range, I have a whole list of companies right now on my wish list.
See that, DC Taylor? We tell everybody every week, have your wish list ready.
Exactly.
And Brian has his wish list ready. His wishes are ready and when they come down into your valuations. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, think about it. I mean, it's hard. Like when the market's down, if the market's down just 10%, all of a sudden everything on CNBC turns red and the anchors are yelling.
And, you know, and they do that.
You know, your neighbor's calling you saying, what should I do? And it's very hard not to get emotional in that type of pullback. But, yeah, in a 20 to 30% pullback, then all of a sudden people become paralyzed. And that's when I go to work. We take the emotion out of what we're doing. I have my wish list, which is based on quantitative factors. Now, one caveat to this is, why did the market go down 20 to 30? Are we talking about a recession? Because then you have to be very careful, because a lot of the earnings you see are going to be lower.
I'm talking about if we see nothing else other than a correction, no real reason out there other than maybe we just see some selling start to accumulate.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be a buyer. Definitely.
Yep.
I've been waiting for this for 3 years. So
it'll come,
right? Tough wait, but sticking to your discipline is the thing that makes you money over time, not chasing performance and doing what everyone else is doing.
All right. Well, thanks, Brian. I want to thank you for giving us so much time this morning here on Your Financial Future. We're talking to Brian Frank. Brian is the portfolio manager of mutual fund Frank Value Fund. Again, you can go to Brian's website, frankfunds.com, or go to our website, njcinvestments.com. You can link to Brian there as well and get his quarterly newsletter. I highly recommend it. You want to keep on top of things, especially in the markets where we're kind of seeing frothy valuations in some areas of the market. And Brian has some great insights, and you can get his stock tips as well. And we appreciate that as well today, too, Brian.
Hey, no problem, Nick. It's always good to be on.
Thanks for coming on again, and we'll have you on. Hope to have you on again before the end of the year, and we'll see how all this plays out for 2017.
Sounds great. Thanks, Nick. Thanks, DC.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. We'll talk to you soon.
The importance of saving at a young age is often overlooked, and many young adults feel they aren't able to set aside any money right now. Finding ways to save and budget can be easier than you think. Hi, my name is Claire Barifaldi from NJC Investments. As a young investor myself, I understand the challenges of getting started in the market. Let's face it, for some it can be intimidating, but it doesn't have to be. Let us help you establish a financial plan that works with your current and future financial needs. Dollar cost averaging is a great way to begin investing. With dollar cost averaging, a specific amount is invested periodically. You pick the amount and how often you want to invest. Don't wait to start setting aside money for your future, because the time to start is now. Visit our website at njcinvestments.com or give us a call at 570-586-5030. That's 570-586-5030. NJC Investments, helping to take the mystery out of your financial future.
Securities offered through Lee Baldwin & Company, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC.
Welcome back to Your Financial Future here on 94.3 FM, The Talker. That was the queen of dollar cost averaging, DC Taylor.
That's right.
Miss Claire Barifaldi. She will be here with us next week on next week's program.
Uh-huh.
So you certainly want to tune into that. And what a great job Brian Frank did for us this morning. I want to thank Brian again for a great interview and his thoughts on our markets and on some stocks. I would say, DC, Brian Frank still strikes me as a little bit cautious, and that might be an understatement. In the current markets.
Yeah, cautious, nothing wrong with that.
That's right. His whole theory out there, you heard him talking about his grandfather and how he got started in this business. His whole theory is not to lose you money, to make you a fair return, but make sure to protect your capital over time. And Brian's track record, you can go to frankfunds.com, check out his track record, a very good long-term track record, in my opinion. But Brian, giving us three stock picks. Again, those picks, if you missed it, if you're just tuning in, you can go back and hear any portion of this program. Just go to our webpage, njcinvestments.com, follow the link, and you can go back and play Brian Frank's interview. But the three stock picks Brian gave us this week, three in his Frank Funds portfolio. He gave us his new addition, which is Lilac Group. LILA is the symbol, trading at about $25.50. The 52-week high was $35.36, and the 52-week week low on LILA, $19.10. He thinks there's a potential 200% upside there,
wow,
according to its fair value DC. That would be something if that comes to be. Yeah. His other picks inside of his portfolio that we talked about today, Shutterfly, SFLY. He's seeing valuations there that he likes. SFLY trading at about $49, the 52-week high, $53.99, 52-week low, $41.91. And his last pick that he gave us, he's talked about before in the program, DC, Liberty Tax, symbol TAX, trading at about $14, 52-week high, $16.20, 52-week low, $10.88, has a nice dividend, over a 4% yield on TAX. Again, those are not recommendations for you to run out and buy those stocks, but maybe you want to take a look at those. Do your own homework. If you need more information, give me a call in the office, 570-586-5030. I'll get you out all the detailed information you need to make a wise decision. DC Taylor, let's wrap it up this week by reminding everyone there's never a bad time to make a good investment. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning us in today on 94.3 FM The Talker. May God bless you and may God bless America. Make it a great week. We'll see you next Saturday.
The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities offered through Lee Baldwin & Company, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC.